Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Shiny, happy people, just the way we like it here at Adventures in Recovery on Voice of Vashon. Hey, it's always great to be with you guys every Tuesday at 1:30. Adventures in Recovery with your host, yours truly, Tom Walston from Vashon Youth and Family Services. So anyway, March is just right around the corner. We're starting to, we got through that little burst of snow the last couple of weeks. That was kind of a surprise, wasn't it? Some slippery roads over here, but I'll tell you what, it sure was beautiful looking down at the winter wonderland of Vashon as I got off the ferry coming over from Tacoma about a week and a half ago. It's all good, but we know spring is upon us. Spring is just right around the corner, and we've got a lot to look forward to with a lot of good new stuff just around the corner. So anyway, some interesting shows coming up in the very near future. I'll be getting together with our star engineer, Truman, coming up over the weekend. And we're going to record a couple of shows for future broadcasts. And God willing, a couple of weeks, I'll be broadcasting live from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I'm ready for a break with some sunshine coming down, and so hopefully we'll get that all worked out with the help of Truman and a special guest that I'll be interviewing from down in Mexico. So that'll be fun. Got a couple of other pre-recorded shows that will be playing for you folks in the very near future, and you never know what kind of guests I'm going to have on the show. So today is one of those days where you're going to hear me yap for a while. I don't have a guest with me on the show, but that's okay because I've got something else in store for you that I think you folks are going to enjoy. And, you know, every week we talk about different ways we can kind of recover our lives into finding ways to be, bring us some serenity, make us a little bit happier, enhance our lives a little bit more, just not only for ourselves, but for those around us. And I was presented with a concept the other day by a good friend, and he was talking to somebody that was just going on and on and on with him with the state of affairs of the government and yada, 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 and just real negative. And this friend of mine turned around and said, "Let me ask you a question. Who did you help today?" "What do you mean?" No. "Who did you help today?" And boy, that kind of turns a negative conversation completely around real quick. Who did you help today? Because really, isn't that what we're all about, is being of service to other people and service to ourselves, obviously, of course, too. We have to practice self-care, but who did you help today? You know, it might be something as simple as, in fact, somebody asked me that last night. "Who did you help today, Tom?" It's like, I really had to think about it for a minute. And it's like, oh, that's right. When I got down at the grocery store, you know, one of my pet peeves is seeing people just leave their cart by their car and not put the cart back where in the cart corral, we call them, where you push your shopping cart where they belong. And so one of my pet peeves is seeing all those laying around, and it's like, well, if I don't like it, why don't I do something to change it? So that's what I did yesterday. I went around, rounded up as many carts as I could, put them in the right row, and the smaller carts, put those in the right row. And by the time I got back to my car, I felt a little bit better about the way the parking lot looked, and somebody mentioned, well, weren't you taking a job away from a person working the lot? It's like, you know what? I'm not going to go there with you right now, but let me ask you a question. Who did you help today? So sometimes we get caught up in our own resentments and maybe our own anger sometimes, and sometimes all sorts of stuff. But I'm going to share this one little story called Drop the Rock with you all. It seems like there was this group of 12-step members taking a boat ride to this island called Serenity. And they were truly a happy bunch of people. As the boat pulled away from the dock, a few on board noticed Mary running down the street trying to catch up with the boat. One said, darn, she missed the boat. Another one said, maybe not. Come on, Mary, jump in the water. Swim, you can make it. You can catch up with us. So Mary jumped in the water and started to swim for all she was worth. She swam for quite a while and then started to sink. The members on board, now all aware that Mary was struggling, shouted, come on, Mary, don't give up. Drop the rock. With that encouragement, Mary started swimming again, only to start sinking again shortly afterward. She was going under when she heard all those voices shouting to her, Mary, drop the rock. Let go and drop the rock. Mary was vaguely aware of something around her neck, but she couldn't quite figure out what it was. Once more, she gathered her strength and started swimming. She was doing quite well, even gaining a little on the boat, but then she felt this heaviness pulling her under again. She saw all those people on the boat holding out their hands and hollering for her to keep swimming and shouting, don't be an idiot, Mary, drop the rock. Well, then she understood. When she was going down for the third time, this thing around her neck was why she kept sinking when she really wanted to catch the boat. This thing was the rock they all started shouting about. The resentments, the fear, dishonesty, self-pity, intolerance, and anger. Just some of the things her rock was made of. God, help me get rid of the rock, she prayed. Now, get rid of it. So Mary managed to stay afloat long enough to untangle a few of the strings holding that rock around her neck, realizing, as she did, that her load was easing up. And then, with another burst of energy, she let go. She tore the other strings off and dropped the rock. Once free of the rock, she was amazed how easy it was to swim. And she soon caught up with the boat. Those on board were cheering for her and applauding and telling her how great she was and how good it was having her with them again. And how now we can get on with our boat ride and have a nice time. Mary felt great and was just about to indulge in a little rest and relaxation when she glanced back to shore. There, a ways back, she thought she saw something bobbing in the water. So she pointed it out to some of the others. Sure enough, someone was trying to catch the boat, swimming for dear life, but not making much headway. In fact, it looked like they were going under. Mary looked around and saw the concern on the faces of the other members, and she was the first to lean over the rail and shout, hey, friend, drop the rock. So, if we take a little personal inventory, are we hanging on to things that we just really don't have any business hanging on to anymore? Resentments, fears, maybe some dishonesty. Take a look. Take a look in the mirror. See what things you might need to let go of. And don't be afraid to ask yourself the question, who did you help today? Because sometimes the person you help is going to be the person that's looking back at you in the mirror.
What an intriguing group of individuals you are. To a psychologist. I've had the opportunity over the last couple of days of listening in on some of your conversations and watching you interact with each other. And I think it's fair to say already that there are 47 people in this audience at this moment displaying psychological symptoms I would like to discuss today. And I thought you might like to know who you are. But instead of pointing at you, which would be gratuitous and intrusive, I thought I would tell you a few facts and stories in which you may catch a glimpse of yourself. I'm in the field of research known as personality psychology, which is part of a larger personality science, which spans the full spectrum from neurons to narratives. And what we try to do in our own way is to make sense of how each of us, each of you, is in certain respects like all other people, like some other people, and like no other person. Now, already you may be saying of yourself, I'm not intriguing. I am the 46th most boring person in the Western Hemisphere. Or you may say of yourself, I am intriguing, even if I am regarded by most people as a great thundering twit. But it is your self-diagnosed boringness and your inherent twittiness that makes me as a psychologist really fascinated by you. So let me explain why this is so. One of the most influential approaches in personality science is known as trait psychology, and it aligns you along five dimensions, which are normally distributed, that describe universally held aspects of difference between people. They spell out the acronym OCEAN. So O stands for open to experience versus those who are more closed. C stands for conscientiousness, in contrast to those with a more lackadaisical approach to life. E, extroversion, in contrast to more introverted people. A, agreeable individuals, in contrast to those decidedly not agreeable. And N, neurotic individuals, in contrast to those who are more stable. All of these dimensions have implications for our well-being, for how our life goes. And so we know that, for example, openness and conscientiousness are very good predictors of life success, but the open people achieve that success through being audacious and occasionally odd. The conscientious people achieve it through sticking to deadlines, to persevering, as well as having some passion. Extroversion and agreeableness are both conducive to working well with people. Extroverts, for example, I find intriguing. With my classes, I sometimes give them a basic fact that might be revealing with respect to their personality. I tell them that it is virtually impossible for adults to lick the outside of their own elbow. Did you know that? Already, some of you have tried to lick the outside of your own elbow. But extroverts amongst you are probably those who have not only tried, but they have successfully licked the elbow of the person sitting next to them. Those are the extroverts. Let me deal in a bit more detail with extroversion because it's consequential and it's intriguing and it helps us understand what I call our three natures. First, our biogenic nature, our neurophysiology. Second, our sociogenic or second nature, which has to do with the cultural and social aspects of our lives. And third, What makes you individually you, idiosyncratic, what I call your ideogenic nature? Let me explain. One of the things that characterizes extroverts is they need stimulation. And that stimulation can be achieved by finding things that are exciting. Loud noises, parties, and social events here at TED. You see the extroverts forming a magnetic core, and they all gather together, and I've seen you. The introverts are more likely to spend time in the quiet spaces up on the second floor, where they are able to reduce stimulation and maybe misconstrued as being antisocial, but you're not necessarily antisocial. It may be that you simply realize that you do better when you have a chance to lower that level of stimulation. Sometimes it's an internal stimulant from your body. Caffeine, for example, works much better with extroverts than it does introverts. When extroverts come into the office at 9 o'clock in the morning and say, I really need a cup of coffee, they're not kidding. They really do. Introverts do not do as well, particularly if the tasks they're engaged in, and they've had some coffee, if those tasks are speeded and if they're quantitative, introverts may give the appearance of not being particularly quantitative, but it's a misconstrual. So here are the consequences that are really quite intriguing. We're not always what we seem to be, and that takes me to my next point. I should say, before getting to this, something about sexual intercourse. Although I may not have time, and so if you would like me to, I would be, yes, you would? Okay. There are studies done on the frequency with which individuals engage in the conjugal act, as broken down by male, female, introvert, extrovert. So I ask you, how many times per minute? Oh, I'm sorry, that was the rat study. How many times per month do introverted men engage in the act? 3.0. Extroverted men? More or less? Yes, more. 5.5, almost twice as much. Introverted women, 3.1. Extroverted women, frankly, speaking as an introverted male, which I will explain later, they are heroic. 7.5, they not only handle all the male extroverts, they pick up a few introverts as well. We communicate differently, extroverts and introverts. Extroverts, when they interact, want to have lots of social encounter punctuated by closeness. They like to stand close for comfortable communication. They like to have a lot of eye contact or mutual gaze. We found in some research that they use more diminutive terms when they meet somebody. So when an extrovert meets Charles, it rapidly becomes Charlie and then Chuck and then Chuckles Baby. Whereas for introverts, it remains Charles until he is given a pass to be more intimate by the person he's talking to. We speak differently. Extroverts prefer black and white, concrete, simple language. Introverts prefer, and I must again tell you that I am as extreme an introvert as you could possibly imagine. We speak differently. We prefer contextually complex, contingent, weasel word sentences, more or less, as it were, not to put too fine a point upon it, like that. When we talk, we sometimes talk past each other. I had a consulting contract I shared with a colleague who was as different from me as two people can possibly be. First, his name is Tom. Yeah. Mine isn't. Secondly, he's 6'5". I have a tendency not to be. And thirdly, he's as extroverted a person as you could find. I am seriously introverted. I overload so much I can't even
have a cup of coffee after 3 in the afternoon and expect to sleep in the evening. We had seconded to this project a fellow called Michael. And Michael almost brought the project to a crashing halt. So the person who seconded him asked Tom and me, "What do you make of Michael?" Well, I'll tell you what Tom said in a minute. He spoke in classic extrovertese. And here is how extroverted ears heard what I said, which is actually pretty accurate. I said, "Well, Michael does have a tendency at times of behaving in a way that some of us might see as perhaps more assertive than is normally called for." Tom rolled his eyes and he said, "Brian, that's what I said. He's an asshole." Now, as an introvert, I might gently allude to certain assholic qualities in this man's behavior, but I'm not going to lunge for the A word. But the extrovert says, if he walks like one, if he talks like one, I call him one, and we go past each other. Now, is this something that we should be heedful of? Of course, it's important that we know this. Is that all we are? Are we just a bunch of traits? No, we're not. Remember, you're like some other people and like no other person. How about that idiosyncratic you? As Elizabeth or as George, you may share your extroversion or your neuroticism. But are there some distinctively Elizabethan features of your behavior or Georgian of yours that makes us understand you better than just a bunch of traits that make us love you, not just because you're a certain type of person? I'm uncomfortable putting people in pigeonholes. I don't even think pigeons belong in pigeonholes. So what is it that makes us different? It's the doings that we have in our life, the personal projects. You have a personal project right now, but nobody may know it here. It relates to your kid. You've been back 3 times to the hospital and they still don't know what's wrong. Or it could be your mom. And you've been acting out of character. These are free traits. You're very agreeable, but you act disagreeably in order to break down those barriers of administrative torpor in the hospital to get something for your mom or your child. What are these free traits? They're where we enact a script in order to advance a core project in our lives. And they are what matters. Don't ask people what type you are. Ask them, what are your core projects in your life? And we enact those free traits. I'm an introvert, but I have a core project, which is to profess. I'm a professor. And I adore my students. And I adore my field. And I can't wait to tell them about what's new, what's exciting, what I can't wait to tell them about. And so I act in an extroverted way because at 8 in the morning, the students need a little bit of humor, a little bit of engagement to keep them going in arduous days of study. But we need to be very careful when we act protractedly out of character. Sometimes we may find that we don't take care of ourselves. I find, for example, after a period of pseudo-extroverted behavior, I need to repair somewhere on my own. As Susan Cain said in her quiet book, in a chapter that featured the strange Canadian professor who was teaching at the time at Harvard, I sometimes go to the men's room to escape the slings and arrows of outrageous extroverts. I remember one particular day when I was retired to a cubicle trying to avoid overstimulation. And a real extrovert came in beside me, not right in my cubicle, but in the next cubicle over. And I could hear various evacuatory noises, which we hate, even our own. That's why we flush during as well as after. And then I heard this heavenly voice saying, "Hey, is that Dr. Little?" If anything is guaranteed to constipate an introvert for 6 months, is talking on the John. That's where I'm going now. Don't follow me. Thank you.
Well, I had to share that story with you folks today just for a little bit of humor and something to brighten your day. But do keep in mind, you are you. There is nobody that is just like you. You are you. So if you want to have gratitude for something today, just know that there is no one else on this whole planet that is exactly like you. Which brings about our question, who did you help today? Who did you help today? Good question around the dinner table. And if you have kids or having company, good topic of conversation. Who did you help today? So, once again, I always look forward to being with you folks every Tuesday at 1:30 for Adventures in Recovery. And I hope to bring interesting topics and to brighten your day every Tuesday with this little half-hour crazy little show that Voice of Ashon was kind enough to give me. I oftentimes share with you some of the offerings that Vashon Youth and Family Services has to offer to the community, as well as the many, many social services here on the island, to include, you've got the food bank every Wednesday, you've got VARSA, you've got Dove, you've got Vashon Households. You got a variety of 12-step meetings every single day of the week, either live or on Zoom. And there's a couple of them that are non-secular that you can access just by your telephone or by your laptop. And that is, one of them is called lifering.org, lifering.org. There's a number of groups that are on there that might appeal to you that you can certainly check out for self-growth. And there's another one called Smart Recovery, S-M-A-R-T, recovery.org. So you can check those out. If there's one thing that COVID brought about that was positive was the opportunity and the access to zoom into a meeting anywhere from any parts of the world. So anyway, once again, who did you help today? Thanks for being with us on KVHS LP FM Vashon, your listener-supported Island Connection.